Good morning. Turning to 1 John chapter 2, verse 24, let's pick our study where we left off yesterday. That's 1 John chapter 2, verse 24. 1 John chapter 2, verse 24. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. All right. On yesterday's broadcast, we looked back at verse 7 in chapter 2 to find the antecedent of the word that in verse 24. Let that therefore abide in you. What is it that's to abide or to dwell or to stay in our presence? When you go back to verse 7, you see the word. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. God's people must be people of the book, and I mean the scripture, the Bible. God's people need to know the word of God. Your walk with God, the intensity of that walk, the reality of that walk, the life-changing character of that walk will never go any further than you have in the Word of God. There comes a point, my friend, when you can't get any closer to God without studying more of the Scripture. There comes a point when you will find that, oh, you're walking in all the light that you have. Well, most people don't. Most people know more about God than they choose to exhibit in their daily life. Most people have a greater head knowledge of the holiness of God than they do an experimental or experiential walk with God's holiness. To know and to ignore is indefensible. It is inexcusable. And one day we will be held accountable for what we have known and not utilized. Let that therefore abide in you, to dwell in the present, in your presence, the idea of living in the sphere, in an enclosure with, it's just you and the Word, that kind of thing. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. Now notice, please, there is a history here that's running through this thing. We're not talking about new revelation. Those of you who have dabbled in the charismatic movement, whether you've been engaged in it or just frittering around the edges of it, need to be aware of this. When you have people claiming new revelation, you better head for the tall timber. When you have people saying, well, God has given me complete revelation on this, you better duck. Keep your head down, because the bolts are going to fly. That which ye have heard from the beginning. Why would God waste his time on new revelation when those who profess to be receiving new revelation have given evidence of being ignorant of the previous revelation? Why would God take the time to reveal something new he's going to do when God's people haven't paid any attention to what he's already done and what he's promised to do? People who claim new revelation, I'm sorry, sounds harsh, sounds unloving, sounds very pointy-headed. People who claim new revelation are dupes of the devil. Dupes, dopes, deceived. Oh, you can take that all sorts of directions if you like. And if I get any flack about it, I'll be glad to deal with it. If you have any questions, feel free to contact me. But my friend, let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. This new stuff, if you take the time to listen to it, you'll find it's froth. You'll find it's drivel. You'll find it's a bunch of cliches held together in a tissue of sentiment and gooey emotionalism, as well as outright ignorance of the Word of God. that's already been revealed. You stay with what you've heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you. Notice, please, it's the old story of Jesus and his blood. It's the old story held in the Scripture. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you. Remain, yes, it means to abide, to be kept in you. Ye also shall continue in the Son. Now, this word continue, while it says continue in the English, in the Greek it is the same word as remain. Ye also shall abide in the Son, be kept in the Son, shall remain in the Son, and in the Father. Notice, please, the connection. Notice, please, the hardwire circuitry that makes that connection, and that is the written word of God. It is not in any new theology. It is not in any church. It is in the Word of God. Get it straight. I do not expect this to ever be a popular program. It's too narrow. It's too out of date. Sometimes I've joked about it, and honestly, sometimes I feel great sorrow that it is more true than humor. I'm a dinosaur. The men who used to preach like me, the men who used to regularly teach the Word of God, as you've been hearing it here for the most part, are all dead. Well, not all. There are a few left. But you will not find them being fawned over by the media. You will not find them winning great accolades. You'll find, by and large, their feud as narrow-minded, mean-souled, unloving, harsh, pharisaical, blah, yada, 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 yada. And on it goes. And my friend, there was a time when a generation of men, when generations of men preached the Word of God, taught the Word of God, and those who called themselves children of God knew and believed and lived the Word of God. Now, there are times when I feel like one crying in the wilderness. The wilderness, yeah, out there where there isn't anybody else. It's interesting, isn't it, that people went out into the wilderness to hear John. They went out to hear. When there's a hunger for the Word of God, the guy who's in the wilderness gets an audience. And when there is no hunger for the Word of God, when Antichrists like emotionalism, sensuality, cheap, easy believism, inclusivism, when those hold the attention, when entertainment becomes more important than the eternal, then, my friend, a message like you hear on this broadcast falls for the most part in the silence of the wilderness. But you are listening, otherwise you wouldn't hear this. You are listening, and I hope it's because you have a hunger for the Word of God, and I hope that hunger for the Word of God is based on a desire to be closer to God. My friend, if that's your desire, God will not leave you disappointed. Let that, therefore, abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning remain in you, ye also shall remain, continue, abide in the Son and in the Father. You remember what Jesus said back in the Gospel of John, the one that John wrote? If we turn, let's go back, please, very quickly, to John chapter 15, you'll notice it says in verse 3 of John 15, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, remain in me, continue in me, be kept in me. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing." Verse 7, If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, John, what do you got to say to us? Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, and ye shall continue in the Son and in the Father, this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. God always keeps his promise, friend. You may not like it. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. You may not like that, but he'll keep his word. He'll keep his promise. He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. That's a promise. That's a statement. He'll keep his word. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. No, not one. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest to your souls. Yeah. Jesus said, ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, in my Father's estate, are many mansions. I get so disgusted with people that don't have any more sense. Now, I don't mean common man, the lay people. I mean the supposed ministers. Stand in the pulpits. In my Father's house are many rooms. No. In my Father's house, in my Father's estate, are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. I'm writing this. I'm reiterating. I'm underlining the importance of your abiding in Christ, in his word, because there are those that would seduce you. The word seduce, to lead away from. There are those that would lead you away from the truth. There are those who went out from us who do not know Christ, who do not believe in him, who do not recognize him as the promised one. They don't recognize his deity nor his sovereign claim on their lives. They don't know that. They refuse to acknowledge that, and they would turn you from the truth as well. That's why I'm writing and saying, let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. That's what he's saying. It's very hard to read the scripture with understanding without putting yourself into the character of the individual who was writing. When I look at 1 John, and I read 1 John, when I teach 1 John, when I preach 1 John, I cannot do it effectively if I cannot get inside John's head and think his thoughts. If I cannot see the way he saw it. If I do not understand what he's talking about, I can't teach it. My friend, this man opens it up so wide and so clearly, there's no need for anybody to have the same up and down yo-yo walk with God that everyone else seems to have. My time's gone. Seems like I look at the clock and it's my friend, and other times it's my enemy. That's it for today. Join me tomorrow for the next edition of The Bible Says.